Yes, welcome back to World Football Daily. It is Tuesday's edition of the show, and I'm delighted to welcome a brand new guest, one of our very good friends from Mad About Football. He's first time on the World Football Daily airwaves, Mr. Michael Lopez-Muelos. And I apologise if I've just butchered your name there, Michael. I'm terrible. You will learn in time that I'm terrible with any of the foreign names whatsoever. Joining us from Mad About Football today. Michael, how are you doing today, mate?
Good. I got my cup of coffee and my polka dot jacket ready to go.
Oh, you're not wearing another one of those things. Is that going to become the new trend now? Is Messi trying to emulate Maradona and then also set a new trend for polka dot jackets and tuxes?
God, I hope not. When I saw that, I was kind of thinking, why would you wear that? You know, but I guess, at the moment that I saw that, he hadn't won it yet. But I mean, everybody knew he was going to win it. But at that point, he had won three in a row. And I guess when you win it 3 years in a row, I guess you're entitled to wear whatever the hell you want, right? If it is polka dots. But I hope it doesn't become a trend because that's not flying, you know?
did it take the edge off it for you for his Ballon d'Or win? Four in a row, first ever player to do it, record breaker. It's just the list goes on for Lionel Messi. How can he can obviously, he can win as many as he wants now at this point, right?
Yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. I mean, amazing. It seems like every year he does better and better and better and puts to rest the ones he won before, right? I mean, you're scoring over 90 goals. That's just ridiculous. I mean, Who... You don't think of those numbers in these days, even though you're playing more games. Teams are playing more games nowadays compared to, maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago. But it's just an absolute phenomenal player. I mean, we're really blessed. If you're a soccer or a football fanatic, you're truly blessed to be able to watch him play, two or three times a week. The only thing, and this is, I'm not bringing up anything new here, but the only thing he has to win now is the World Cup. If he really wants to enter the elite of the elite, he really needs that World Cup title. And if he doesn't win it, whether it's in Brazil or 2018 or 2022 or whatever, he's going to be stuck in the where the Platinis are, where your Cruyffs are. Because if not, that's the only thing that would really consolidate him as the best ever if he's going to enter that debate, which is the only world he has left to win. It's the only one. I think by this point on, whether he gets five or six Ballon d'Ors, I mean, yes, it's an incredible feat. It's an accomplishment that maybe no one else ever achieved. But I think by this point, he would probably trade in the four that he's won for a World Cup title. There's no doubt about it.
Is that maybe a little bit harsh, though, in the to win a World Cup, Messi's relying on a team around him that's going to play as well or to a standard that can get him to that World Cup final and lift the trophy, as opposed to a Ballon d'Or, which just highlights how good he is as an individual. And surely if you're talking about best evers, you're talking about the individual rather than the team around them as well.
Yeah. It's a valid argument, but, it doesn't sell me. I'm not sold on, because he's won it already four times. So, yes, his individual performance has been rewarded for three or four seasons now. But if he's going to enter this discussion about the best ever, he needs that World Cup. Now, you make a valid point about the team surrounding him. And let me tell you, Argentina is full of talent. They're always full of talent. It's always a deep team in whatever tournament they play in. Whether it's managed correctly or not, it's a different discussion. But, when you're as good as Lionel Messi, I think you just got to take over at some point. And he's probably been playing his best ball with the national team since he started playing for Argentina. But I think with that argument about whether if he's surrounded correctly, I mean, I'm trying not to compare here, but when Maradona took Argentina to the final in 1990, that team wasn't all that great. It was just Maradona and maybe Caniggia at his prime and one or two other players. But as far as the team is concerned, he really took that team by himself to the final on one ankle. Now, I don't see why Messi can't have that ability to do the same. No matter who's playing around him, he should be the one that should catapult this team into the later stages of a World Cup or a Copa America or whatever tournament it is. He needs to really just take over any tournament and win.
What about the actual debate between Messi and Ronaldo yourself, Michael? Where before last night, whose side were you on for winning the Ballon d'Or? Whose camp were you you pitching your tent in?
Well, my money was on Messi, not because I prefer one over the other. I think Cristiano Ronaldo is a phenomenal player, man. I mean, I really do. I mean, he gets a lot of heat for his arrogance or his high profile or whatever it be. I think that's all BS, to be honest with you, because what he does on the field is absolutely spectacular. I mean, he's giving you 40, 50 goals a season like it's all good. Problem is, he's in the shadows of Lionel Messi. He's playing in the same time period as Lionel Messi. And unless Messi has a serious injury or something, I mean, it's really hard for Ronaldo to surpass the individual performance of Lionel Messi. But he's top flight, spectacular player. I mean, it gets to a point where if I was Cristiano Ronaldo, I don't even know if I would have gone to the Ballon d'Or ceremony, because I mean, what's, you know, 3 years, 4 years in a row, and it's the same result, and it's almost like, you know, it gets to a point where it's almost a joke now, you know, like. I didn't pick sides. I liked both players. I mean, again, my money was on Messi. Everybody's money was on Messi. I wasn't the only one there. I mean, I really thought Iniesta wasn't going to win it, although he's probably one of the major reasons why Lionel Messi has this continued success on the pitch for Barcelona. I mean, just a spectacular playmaker. I don't think we'll ever see an Iniesta for some years to come, but I wasn't really picking any side. I just kind of, at this point, I don't even know if I would say I feel sorry for Cristiano Ronaldo, but it's just, the problem is he's in the shadows of Lionel Messi, and until Messi goes away somehow, even if it's for a short period of time, you know, we won't see Ronaldo win it, in my opinion. But he's just a phenomenal. I mean, I think Real Madrid is lucky to have a player like Cristiano Ronaldo. Without him, I don't know if they would be La Liga winners like they won it last season, or if they would even be in the running for maybe a Champions League run.
Michael, in terms of, I want to get back onto Argentinian football in just a second, but in terms of last night's Ballon d'Or and the FIFA FIFA Pro World 11 that was released last night, all La Liga players. Do you agree that there's maybe been a number of players have been overlooked who deserve to be in that best 11 over the likes of possibly Marcelo, Dani Alves? Some people saying that Pirlo should be in for Xabi Alonso. What did you make of the All La Liga World 11?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was thinking the exact same thing. It can't be that just, you know, Barcelona and Real Madrid make up the best 11. I mean, I don't think there were bad selections or perhaps irresponsible selections. I think they were fine, but I mean, I think I also got the feeling that there were other players that maybe should have at least been in the 11. I mean, I'm not sure what you guys think about that, but I'm pretty sure that there was a few players that perhaps got overlooked in that top 11.
A number of people on Twitter, on World Football Daily site, have been saying Pirlo should be in for Xabi Alonso, possibly Ivanovic maybe in one of the fullback positions. Definitely Marcelo and Dani Alves' presence in that side have both been kind of laughed at slightly by a number of people. I was just wondering, who would you bring in personally? Who would you have liked to have seen given a spot in that best 11?
Oh, man. I mean, Chicharito. No, I'm just playing. You know, there's just so many names that right now, there's just, I mean, Van Persie obviously is one of them, and he had a really good year. I mean, I think the list of names we just could talk for another half hour about what names could have been on that list, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess we could leave it for the fans on World Football Daily to really discuss that, but I mean, I'm not sure if that's the best 11. I mean, a lot of them that were on that 11 should have been there. They have to be there. Now, some of them are debatable. You know, there's just too many names. There's just too many. I mean, I don't know if that's what FIFA's intentions were to have just Barcelona and Real Madrid represent the best in Europe.
Don't forget Falcao as well from Atletico Madrid. There, it wasn't a complete dominant.
And Falcao. Yes, and Falcao. Now, the other thing I was thinking when I saw that team is, you know, it seems like, you know, La Liga, I'm the type to think that La Liga kind of fell off over the last few seasons with I guess the talent level or really just the level as a league itself. I mean, you have two great teams in Barcelona and Real Madrid, and then there's a huge drop off after that, after those two teams. Maybe you can throw in Atletico in there, maybe a Malaga as well. But I feel like it's also kind of a misrepresentation of what Spain is right now. I'm the La Liga, of course, the domestic league. I'm not really sure that it's really, obviously they're picking the best players for each position on the best 11 team. But, that's another idea that popped into my head when I saw this best 11 being announced. I'm not sure if you guys agree with that, but I think nowadays, when you have a league that by round 14 or 15, it's already decided between, who's going to win it and maybe the other team that's contending for it, which the team that's contending for it is still very far off. I'm not sure that how much of an attractive element it has anymore.
Michael, let's move away from last night now, and I did want to talk to you about a bit of South American football and the news the other day that Roman Riquelme, somebody who probably would have been in that world best 11 in his heyday, he almost joined Chivas USA with Carlos Bianchi this summer until instead they went for their new manager Jose Scola. What do you make of Riquelme and his decision not to join Chivas USA? How big would that have been for Chivas?
Would have been huge. I think it would have been great as far as exposure, as far as improving the level of talent on the pitch for Chivas USA. Despite him being 37 years old, it's a recurring theme of MLS, I guess, signing. I don't want to say elderly players, but players that are past their prime. If you want to put it together in that sense. But I think it would have been a great signing for MLS in general, not just Chivas USA. He's a controversial player in the sense that it's always about him. Everything revolves around him, and that's kind of what's been criticized about him during his time in Boca Juniors the last few seasons, where it's just really. It's him before anything else, and I'm not sure if that rubs off the right way in any locker room, not just in Boca's locker room, but in any locker room. And I don't think it would have been any different in Chivas USA or for whatever other team he decides to play for if he plays again. Very controversial player. I myself am a Boca Juniors fan. I did not want him to return. He was in discussions with Bianchi. The last couple of weeks after Bianchi signed with Boca again, and I didn't want him back. He's also very injury prone. He signs these crazy contracts, which are astronomical sums in Argentina, and he'll play half the games because his hair hurts. He didn't clip his toenails right. This, that. It's always something with Riquelme. He was a phenomenal player maybe 5-6 years ago for Boca. He did what he had to do. He was very successful, but I wouldn't have enjoyed his return to Boca Juniors. And he also left. He said 6 months ago he didn't have any more left in the tank to continue to play for Boca. Now he wants to come. He goes, he leaves, he goes. It's not the way it works. And I don't think it would have been any different for Chivas USA. It would have improved Chivas USA, but at the same time, I don't think they're really missing anything.
It's almost like the soap opera that you kind of want, but you really, is it worth the hassle and all the melodrama that comes
Exactly. I don't think Chivas USA would have, in the short term, it would have been an upgrade, absolutely. In the long term, I'm not sure if it would have been worth the investment.
Now, what did you make of Boca's sixth place finish in Torneo Inicial in the Argentinian League? Not much was expected of Boca this season. It was great to have Boca against River Plate once again, but a reasonable finish to finish sixth and not too far off. Some of the top big boys up in the top three.
It's a disappointment. I think any time any big team that's always the favorite finishes anywhere below first, it's always a disappointment. I think the only highlight of the Inicial tournament that ended in December was the draw, the last second draw against River Plate at River, which was basically the their game of the season, if you will. As far as 2012 was concerned, they did reach the Libertadores final, which I have my personal opinion about Riquelme's performance, but I can't back it up, so I'm not gonna go into that. But, they were finalists. Obviously, they're always campaigning to win Libertadores. Their culture at Boca Juniors is to always win or try to always win the Libertadores because of the international exposure that means, and of course playing the Club World Cup. But either way, they reached that. It was, I guess, in my opinion, it was a mediocre season. They reached the final. They won Copa Argentina, which is the second tier domestic league in Argentina. But then they lost the Argentine Super Cup to Arsenal. They were also eliminated from Copa Sudamericana in the early stages against an Independiente squad. That's their main issue right now is relegation. And as far as their sixth place finish, again, a disappointment. I mean, the Argentine league right now is probably at its worst as far as talent level is concerned, as far as competition level. It's a very mediocre league, which is sad to say, because if anyone follows the Argentina league or has been following it over the last, I'd say, 20 years, I mean, it's a great league to watch, fun league to watch. Nowadays, it's kind of in the gutter right now, to be honest with you. So to finish sixth in a league where you don't really need that much talent to actually win it it says a lot, you know. But I'm also I'm pretty content with Falcioni leaving. His style of play was very conservative for a big team like Boca. A lot of people in Argentina were saying that his style of play was more for, you know, the mid-table clubs or smaller clubs like a Banfield, where he coached before, where that strategy would perhaps work better. The players he used on the pitch, a lot of them were also disappointing. Somoza in midfield. Erviti, yes, he had the tying goal against River, but underperformed as well. He had this issue with using two number nines up top, where I'm kind of, you know, old school, where you got to have the old, you know, number 11, the old winger on the flank, you know, sending crosses in. I think when you use two central forwards, you're really not taking advantage of the spaces that you could use on the flanks, you know. That created also some issues for Boca's attack. As far as their defense, though, that's another. It's always been an issue. The last, like, two or three seasons, they've been rebuilding that back line of four. And hopefully they'll find some stability now with Carlos Bianchi. But, yes, big disappointment finishing in sixth. And now coming up for the final tournament, you know, they have a new coach. Riquelme didn't say that he was going to come back. He won't come back, which is probably a good thing in the long run for Boca Juniors. And they also have Copa Libertadores. They'll start up in, I think it's the first or second week of February, which is always, you know, one of their big, they're always aiming big for that. Mm. So we'll see if they can turn it around.
Well, Michael, you obviously an expert in Argentinian football. Just before we let you go, it's your first time on the show. Want to find out a little bit more about your footballing likes and dislikes. So, Hit us with, okay, your favorite national team to watch.
Favorite national team to watch? Well, obviously Argentina. that's a given.
That's a given.
But I always like to watch Spain, of course. They're one of, I mean, I think right now they're going down in history as one of the best national teams ever. They're always fun to watch. I also like to watch Germany. I still think that they will reach the 2014 World Cup. I mean, when I saw them beat Argentina 4-0, you know, I mean, it sucked, obviously, but they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of talent. They're a young team. They're deep. They have a great coach, and I think they could actually win the World Cup in Brazil.
Sorry, Michael. What about your favorite football league in Europe?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I think I'm going to stick with either EPL or even Serie A.
Very well done. Not going for La Liga, especially after last night. Well done indeed, Mike. All right, just finally then, favorite.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not that I have anything against La Liga. It's just, you know, it's just been so dull the last, in my opinion, the last, you know, two, three seasons, where, again, there's this huge drop off between Madrid and Barcelona and then everyone else. That, you know, I remember La Liga back in the days. Occasionally, you would have a Valencia sneak up with a La Liga title, you know, a Deportivo La Coruña, Atletico Madrid. I mean, I know I'm talking years and years ago, but yeah. I mean, it was a little bit more balanced as compared to today. But a lot of good players are in La Liga. There's no doubt about that. But as far as a league is concerned, I think right now I would stick a little bit with EPL and Serie A.
And just, Michael, just quickly, let us know what's coming up in 45 seconds on what's coming up on Mad About Football in the next week or so.
Oh, a lot of trash talking between Juan and George. That's for sure. Of course, the main issue that we're gonna discuss is the Ballon d'Or and all the awards handed out last night, and FIFA ceremony for best player. Of course, we'll most likely do a preview for Argentina, Copa Lib as well. We also focus a lot on the under 20 South American tournament that's going to be held in Argentina in about a week or so. And the reason we do that is because a lot of these youngsters are the same ones that go to Europe in the next year or two and, you know, start scattering their talent all over the leagues in Europe, whether it's England, Italy, or Spain. So we keep an eye out on those under 20 tournaments as well. And basically, that's about it. I mean, it's really the main issues this topic until really the leagues start kicking up again in Europe.
Well, Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show for the first time. We will definitely be inviting you back for your second appearance. And I tell you what, though, man, you've started so well with your debut. When you come back, you've got to try and top it now, mate. You've set your own bar very high indeed, man.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'll make sure that I, when I step up to the PK, I won't miss it. You know, a lot of these guys, their legs start to shake when they start walking up to the spot, you know, you can tell who's going to miss it. You know, I'm not going to miss those.
Confidence under pressure. Michael Lopez-Melos of Mad About Football joining us here on World Football Daily. Michael, thank you so much for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure to have a chat with you. Take care. And we look forward to getting you back on the show as soon as possible, mate.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care, man. Michael Lopez-Melos there joining us on Tuesday's edition of World Football Daily. We're going to take a very quick break. We're running over right now. It's been mammoth. The first 2 days of the first full week back for World Football Daily. And we'll be back in just a second after some more tunes from DJ Raf. We'll see you in a moment.